Dear friends, good evening. Welcome everyone to our pre-chamber lecture series. And tonight we have a delightful lecture to share with you because this lecture is titled The Mission of the Extraterrestrials. Tonight we're going to learn some really good stuff about these great masters who roam the space of mystery. But let's go ahead and start with this factoid. This is historical anecdote. Back in November 9th of the year 1969, there was an event that was referred to as the Great Blackout. And this Great Blackout of 1965 caused the power system throughout the Northeast to fail. It led New York, Boston, and other cities into darkness exactly at rush hour. And this blackout originated at a power plant alongside the Canadian border. The fail took place there. It cascaded throughout the system. Many of those news clippings state that there was some kind of an unidentified object hovering over the substation where the fault initiated. And this should just be of so much interest to us at so many different levels. With that brief introduction on the influence that some of these great masters can have with minimal effort over any of these things that we treasure so much, let's go ahead and start speaking tonight about the mission of the extraterrestrials. To this day, there are so many of us humanoids walking the face of the earth who think that perhaps not Earth, but our humanity is the center of the universe. They see us and they consider that we may be the only life that exists in the vastness of the universe. But look at the screen. Here in the screen, you're seeing an image from the Hubble telescope, and this is an image that was taken. It was captured as part of the 30th anniversary of the Hubble telescope. And this particular image is of a region that astronomers had found in space that appeared to be dark. They noticed that in the vastness of that cosmos, there was a very small area in which there seemed to be very little or nothing. And as they took the picture of that area that appeared to be nothing, this is what came back. And the people at bigthink.com, they wrote a beautiful article several years ago. And as part of the statements from the author, he said, all told, there are some 2 trillion galaxies within the observable universe. Carl Sagan, such a remarkable scientist. Many of you perhaps saw his TV show many times before. He used to say, it seems to me that if we are the only human species in the vastness of the universe, this is all a tremendous waste of space. And listen to what Master Samael Umbeor says. Samael says, obviously, Earth cannot be the only inhabited planet. It would be absurd to think that our world, a tiny grain of sand in the infinite space, was the only planet with the exclusivity of having people. And one day, as Samael is giving a lecture to a beautiful audience out in Mexico, he is sharing with them about some anecdotes that he learned from an extraterrestrial. And he says, recently a probe went to Mars. This recently, it's really not that recent. This is back in the 1960s. So recently a probe went to Mars. And the photographs they showed humanity are not from Mars. They are from the moon. Samael said, Martians knew how to orient the photographic apparatus. They know very well that the Earthlings are after, and they are not unaware of the destructive character of the inhabitants of Earth. Samael says, Earthlings have shown to be destructive over and over again in the cosmos. No one ignores this. And those pictures that were taken back in the 1960s are these. This one that we're seeing here is one of those pictures was taken by the Mariner 4 back in July of 1965. And what you can see there, well, it says the hazy area barely visible above the limb on the left side of the image may be clouds. See, this is what is written out in that NASA Caltech page. But these are some of the pictures that were taken. And Samael says, there is an inherent cruelty of humans. No one in the universe is unaware of our perverseness. But this perverseness is something that we are all very familiar with. I mean, we see it. We not only see it in history, but we even see it today. Hundreds of years ago, we see the story of Hernan Cortes. And Hernan Cortes, as a conquistador, he comes to this America, to this new world. And he destroyed Tenochtitlan. He created tremendous chaos, destruction. The image that you're seeing here are scenes of the conquest that were captured in canvas and oil by Felix Parra back in 1877. And this type of abuse that we inflict amongst each other, that we inflict amongst the ones we love, even the abuse that we inflict upon our own selves, is something that we need to start becoming aware of. We need to be mindful of these dynamics and these interactions so that we can come to just know ourselves. Because the path to awakening the consciousness starts with observing and learning to know ourselves. Samael, as he's speaking to the audience, he says, on Mars, there are cities like Tanio, for example, where peaceful people live who never make war or invent atomic bombs to destroy anyone. Samael says, the inhabitants of Tanio are in no way willing to let themselves be invaded by the Earthlings' hordes. That is the harsh reality of the facts. And Samael also states, multiple ships travel across a starry space. Since there are some of these ships that are galactic ones, like motherships that carry smaller ships inside. He says, these motherships are used for travel, not only within our galaxy, but also to move to different galaxies. They are duly conditioned to travel throughout the unalterable space. And back when we delivered this lecture a year or 2 years ago, there were some rumors already making themselves evident in our common day media about the existence of these extraterrestrials. And it has not been until the last 8, 9, maybe 10 months that we have seen those streams of news just gain momentum. And now we see in our common day media so much about the Pentagon confirming this and videos of that, and some officials just willingly offering this information. And this is wonderful, because it is true that there are these great motherships that are useful to travel around the galaxy and to go from one galaxy to the next. But there are also smaller ones that are perhaps more within our reach. Smaller ones that we may be more likely to come in contact with. And Samael, to that effect, says, there are also small ships, and this will surprise you, at most 20 or 30 centimeters in size. Absurd, they will say. That does not exist. This is what Samael says. Who would travel in such small ships? Well, cosmic Lilliputians, supermen, true men in the right sense of the word, with tiny, as Samael states, gelatinous bodies, 4-inch men in height, and most. It's so interesting because it has been this week that we just came across a beautiful footage that they were showing in the news about a small ship, perhaps of a size similar to what Somail is indicating here. The image seems to be taken from a drone, and you can see the small, round, sphere-like ship just displacing itself at a constant speed over the Earth. Somail continued by saying, "The heap of theories that abound here and there and shape the culture of the 20th century is vulnerable. That is not pure science. Scientists on Earth do not know. In order to have access to the amphitheater of cosmic science, of pure science, one must have opened the interior mind." And the topic of the lecture tonight is to let you know what is the value behind opening the interior mind. But to know what is the interior mind, the first thing we must know is that we have three minds. Just like we have three brains, one that handles intellectual activities, another one that handles sexual motors, sexual instinctive activities, and another that deals with emotional stuff. Well, in the same way, we have three minds. We have a sensual mind that is responsible of receiving information through the senses. And the sensual mind is tremendously useful. I mean, if you did not have a sensual mind, and you were outside exposed to the rays of the sun the whole day, well, eventually the sun would consume you because you would not feel your skin burning and you would not perceive the damage on that organ that is the skin, and eventually you would die. So it is very important. The sensual mind receives all of its information through the senses of the human machine, and that is remarkable. But as great as that is, well, the sensual mind is very limited. And because it can only perceive what it receives through the senses, any phenomena that escapes the senses goes undetected by the sensual mind. So the sensual mind is not privy to universal cosmic truths. The sensual mind has no ability to perceive those things that manifest beyond the senses and in the space of the consciousness. But because you and I and everyone else, we have this notion of being. You see, within each and every one of us, we know that there is a strong notion of there being an observer, something that is capable of detecting when thoughts exist and when thoughts do not belong to it. Something that is being able to be there and perceiving. That observer is the essence. That is the psychic material that we have been given so that we can fabricate superior existential, actually so that we can fabricate a soul that is radiant in nature, a soul encrusted in gold. That is, that psychic material is the consciousness. And because we have that sense of being, of perceiving, we have that fraction of consciousness awakened and existing within us while the rest of it is trapped within the ego. In addition of the sensual mind, we have something that is called the intermediate mind. And because you and I and everyone who has received the human body has the ability to elaborate concept, it is in the intermediate mind where we store all of our beliefs and theories, all of our assumptions and hypotheses, and all of that goes into the intermediate mind. And even though the sensual mind is the one that is perceiving through the senses, it is thanks to the intermediate mind that we can come at some point and realize that we have established a connection with higher realms of creation, even though our body is here in 3D. Because the intermediate mind allows you to understand that phenomenon. How is it that you can see something, perceive it with your eyes, burn it in your memory through the retina, and the moment that happens, that image becomes mental substance. And as mental substance, it exists within the mental plane in the fifth dimension of nature. And you can retrieve it at any moment because the brain is a beautiful instrument of the mind. You see, in this intermediate mind, all of those dogmas and doctrines and all of those religious beliefs that we as humanity have experienced for millennia, they're all there. But the intermediate mind, just like the sensual mind, has no ability to perceive the cosmic truths. At least, the intermediate mind opens the door to possibility. At least it does that. But we need to go beyond the sensual and beyond the intermediate into the space of the interior mind. Because the interior mind, being the third mind that we have, is a mind of manifestation. The interior mind is the direct connection between the consciousness and our spirit, the innermost. It is through the interior mind where we can receive, perceive the communication that comes from the innermost. It is thanks to the interior mind that we can experience intuition, inspiration. It is thanks to that interior mind that we can make something out of objective imagination, clairvoyance. So we must awaken the interior mind. When we awaken the interior mind, the consciousness enters in a direct connection with the spirit, with the innermost. And it does so because our consciousness is a fraction of the human soul of our innermost. Our consciousness is the only thing of the innermost that we have incarnated today. So we can take this interior mind, and if we can open it so that it can receive, so that it can perceive, then we enter in a space of equanimity, of tremendous harmony with our spirit. And then it becomes easier to follow the will of the innermost. It becomes easier to disconnect from the law of accidents and embrace the law of fate, so that we can start moving onto the stepping stones that the innermost sets for the consciousness, so that it can continue making progressions into higher levels of being. And the only way that we can enter that space and make progress in that vertical scale that takes us from matter to spirit is by the elimination of those aspects of us that are completely unworthy. Things like ambition and desires, like our gluttonies and our laziness, our sexual desires, our animal passions. All of these inferior things, the more we shed, the more we can see eliminated, the more progress that we can make. And it so happens that all of these extraterrestrials, they're people who have opened their interior minds. Samael says they are supermen in the fullest sense of the word. Now, by now you have noticed Samael uses the word man a lot. And you have heard us say 100 times that he uses that word as an epicene noun, meaning men and women. So there is no exclusion. But Samael also uses the word man because a true man is he or she who has been able to develop themselves to such a degree that they become masters of creation. They have influence over the elements, over the forces of nature. They can exercise the phenomena of nature under the direction of the innermost. The word man, in reality, means demigod, almost God. Godlike. So Samael says, these are supermen in the fullest sense of the word. Let me share with you the anecdotes of Samael when he comes across a group of extraterrestrials. because he happened to be one time at the desert of Leones, Desierto de los Leones, which is a national park in Mexico, and he was out in the wilderness just looking for a place to meditate, and suddenly, out in a clearing, some clear space right there within the midst of the trees, he notices that there is a spacecraft that is just descending, and there is no noise, there is nothing of the propulsion systems that we're familiar with. So he notices that, and he heads in that direction and notices that as that spacecraft lands very gently, there's a port that opens. There's a door that opens, and from there, a little ladder, just a small stair just comes out. And from the aircraft, there are some beings walk out. There are two women who descend. One of them takes a seat on one of the logs on the ground. And then descends one additional character that Samael intuits is the captain of the ship. As that happens, he comes out of the clear and he introduces himself. And as he greets this captain and the ladies, Samael makes a comment and he says that he is so surprised to see that this extraterrestrial can communicate with him also in Spanish. We have a beautiful story to share when it comes to the gift, the power of the word, particularly on the story of Samael himself, written by one of his children. But let's get to that later. So Samael becomes so enthusiastic because he can communicate in Spanish with him. And Samael lets them know that he is a writer, he's an author, he has written many books. And he speaks about the sacrifice and the effort, and he speaks about his mission here on Earth. And he's saying, can you please take me to Mars? Please take me there to Mars so that we can go and we can bring back something tangible that we can give Earthlings so that they can see that, yes, there is indeed something else outside of our atmosphere. There is more outside in the cosmos. As they're having this conversation, the captain of the ship looks at Samael and says, but Mars, but that's right there. As if that's around the corner. Why can't you get there yourself? And as the conversation continues, one of the ladies, alluding to the perverseness of our humanity that we spoke at the beginning, she looks at Master Samael and she says, if we place a plant that is aromatic next to another that is not aromatic, it is clear that the one that is not aromatic will be charged or impregnated with the aroma of the plant that is, isn't it? And Samael says, yes, you're certainly right. And the lady then says, how come that does not happen with this humanity? What she is saying is, the people on Earth, why is it that the heightened spirituality, the kindness, the compassion, the service, the sacrifice, all of these attributes of all of these other humanities that exist in all of these other planets that surround us, if we are being consistently radiated with those influences, how come we are not embracing them and receiving them? Samael reflected, and as he answered, he said, what happens is that here we are experiencing the karma of the gods. The lady reflected for an instant, looked at Master Samael, she bowed her head and paid him a reverence. After that brief conversation, both ladies stood up and they headed back onto the ship. Samael implored once again, please, can you take me there? And the captain of the ship looked at Samael and he said, "We will see along the path." Samael immediately knew that the captain of that spaceship was referring to the progress that must be done in the path of the revolution of the consciousness. Samael understood. They paid a reverence to each other. And as the captain of the ship headed back onto the spaceship itself, Samael said that he took a few steps back and he took shelter behind a few trees just to allow the spaceship to rise. He says that the spaceship, in tremendous silence, it rose, it hovered briefly above the ground, and like lightning disappeared. "We will see along the path." This path is the path of initiation. This is the path that we must embrace, getting rid of all that is inferior within us so that we can open the interior mind. This is a path that is entirely sexual in nature. And by now you have heard many lectures in which you have learned about that mystery of the super dynamic of love that has the power of turning men into supermen. It is necessary for us to work with forces that exist beyond our mind so that we can invoke the forces like our Divine Mother, Devi Kundalini, so that we can observe, comprehend, and eliminate these defects. This is a path that is very treacherous because it is populated with temptations. It is an internal trainer that we carry within that is responsible of setting those temptations so that as we are moving along that we can demonstrate that we are indeed achieving some degree of mastery. This is a very intense path that is full of ordeals. This is a path, well, that requires of us to be truly committed, to really define ourselves so that we can make progress. Going back to our story of November 9th and that great blackout, Samael says, "When two such ships floated over the United States some time ago, fighter bomber planes, they went out with the purpose of destroying them." Very similar to some of the news that we have seen as of late. "One of the ships was lost in space. The other descended and landed gently on an electrical power tower. Then the New York blackout occurred and affected not only the United States, but also Canada. Generals of the American army exclaim, here is the Achilles heel of the United States of America." And just like that story, there are many other stories of people who have had those intimate encounters with beings from other planets. There's a story about a man from Ecuador. This man from Ecuador, he states in his book that he heard something and a spacecraft landed on his garden. He walked outside. He's surprised to see this spaceship and beings pretty much in his backyard. So they invited him to leave. They invited him to go with them, and they took him with him to one of Jupiter's moons. It's called Ganymede. As this man comes back, he says that the beings that live in Ganymede, they have larger brains than Earthlings, so their heads are shaped a little different. They have a pineal gland that is connected to the pituitary gland, and a pituitary gland that is connected to the optic nerve, so they can perceive directly with the faculty of clairvoyance, just using their physical eyes. They have a very awakened sixth sense, and because of these connections and because of the virtues and faculties that they enjoy, they can see the sixth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh dimensions with no problem at all. As he was there in Ganymede, these great beings gave him some treatments and healed him from his illnesses. He got revitalized. So they brought him back. And when he was here on Earth, he was so delighted, not only with the experience, but being exposed to such superior beings, that he handed over his fortune, whatever he had. He gave away his house, his car, he took care of his family. He pretty much said goodbye. But the beings of Ganymede also gave him a small device, something that would be the equivalent to a kind of a fancy cell phone on our days. And with this communications device, his family can communicate with him while he is living within this other world. Samael says the inhabitants of Ganymede, they once lived on a yellow planet. This yellow planet is a planet that was believed to exist between Earth and Mars. Or between Mars and Jupiter. Excuse my loss of memory. And this yellow planet is known or referred to in some books as Tiamat. The people of Tiamat, well, they fell into a state of degeneration very similar to the one that we're experiencing today. And they will also work with atomic energies, and they also created destructive bombs. And just like us, there was a messenger that was sent to them to speak to them about the revolution of the consciousness, to work on the elimination of the ego, to allow the consciousness to thrive and flourish. But many of them did not embrace that doctrine. Those who did not remained behind, caught in their dramas and their tragedies, and eventually a disastrous war took place, and they destroyed the planet. And the destruction of the planet, all of those fragments, are what today make up this thing called the asteroid belt. Samael says, when Hercolobus appears and speaking about perverse humanities, well, it so happens, as Samael says, a humanity as perverse as the one that we have on Earth exists on the planet Hercolobus. And speaking of Hercolobus, he says, when Hercolobus appears, and all of you can see it with the naked eye, you will be convinced of what I am saying. Then that enormous planetary mass will magnetically attract the fire from the interior of the Earth. Volcanoes will erupt everywhere, and terrible tidal waves and great earthquakes will originate. Hercolobus will produce a revolution of the axis of the world. The poles will become the equator, and the equator will become the poles, and the waters of the oceans will sink these continents. This is how this perverse humanity will end. And Samael speaks about Hercolobus as he's speaking about extraterrestrials. Because that great master, as he spoke to Samael, he said, we will see along the path. Dear friends, brothers, sisters who are listening to this, when we choose to walk into the space of becoming practical in the studies of Gnosis, we cannot but notice how life changes around us. There are many people who walk into these studies, and as soon as they decide to start putting things into practice, they say, my life used to be so much better before. And sometimes it is not easy to state if they are acknowledging if they are saying that because now their consciousness is awakening and they are truly perceiving what is indeed happening, while before they were relying on so many things just to take shelter and hide. Or if it is that they are just saying it because now they are perceiving what is truly happening and yet they don't know what to do with it. Those who walk into the practical space of Gnosis have the opportunity of applying this wisdom that is of a regenerative nature and learn to work with the internal psychological trainer. Learn to observe and comprehend every psychological aggregate and work with the fire of the Divine Mother individually or through the mystery of the super dynamic of love, and eliminate the ego to allow the consciousness to awaken, to become liberated, for the consciousness to come back and as it liberates to coalesce within itself and create a permanent center of consciousness. Those who have received the wisdom and put it to use, those who have actively worked on observing, comprehending, and eliminating their defects, the moment that they get to around half of their defects being eliminated, they become part of this group that can be spared from the catastrophe. As of today, we know very well that the magnetic North Pole is no longer where it used to be. We know that it has been moving at a rate of around 30 miles per year towards, from the north, towards what is known today as Siberia. And we know that it has been moving so fast that companies that own communication satellites and GPS tracking systems, they have to be compensating constantly for the new position of the magnetic north so that all of these human-created devices can continue to operate. So the shifting of the poles is something that is already happening. We know for a fact that the shifting of the poles has already happened long time ago and that when the events take place, they are very dramatic in nature. You would perhaps remember the story of Racing the Mammoth, which was a beautiful documentary that was shared in, I believe, the Discovery Channel maybe 10 years ago, where a mammoth, a baby mammoth, was unearthed, and it happened to freeze so fast that it still had some fresh greens in his stomach of the things that it was consuming while it was still alive. So the moment that such a shift happens, it takes place at such a tremendous rate that the changes in the environment are so shocking that they can take an elephant and freeze it fast enough to conserve the last meal in its stomach, kind of fresh, for thousands of years. This is something phenomenal. We know that the poles are shifting. We know that as human beings, we have not really gotten any better. Nobody can give testimony of being today better than their parents or their grandparents. We live in a society that is violent in nature, where there is intolerance, there is impatience, there is a consistent threat, where our children, well, they go to school, and many children don't come back. So we know clearly, without a doubt, that not only we have walked well into the end of days, but that we have gotten into a degenerated condition which it is very difficult to turn back. But Gnosis is given to all of us at times of spiritual imbalance. Gnosis is given to us at times of societal peril. And now that we have this wisdom, we have the opportunity to learn from it. So not only we can work with that internal trainer, We can work with our Divine Mother, that we can work with different aspects of the being that exists within, so that that inner Savior can indeed practice this thing called the Parlak duty of the being, which is the duty of the being of embracing the wisdom, going through the experience, awakening the consciousness, reintegrating. In terms of earthquakes, we wanted to show this to you. Earthquakes and volcanoes, eruptions. We wanted to show this to you because we know that there are many of you out there who are extremely inquisitive. And we have this information from the Smithsonian. And what we can see here are the number of eruptions. And in this case, for the last 30 years, there was not more data available at the time. But what we have seen here is that as of late, in these last 10, 12 years, the number of eruptions have indeed increased. The fires of the earth are very active. There are many earthquakes. There are many volcanoes who are very, very active. And in terms of earthquakes, well, we see that for the last 30 years, the planet has been very active as well. We can see here that on the average, earthquakes a year, happening almost 1,800 earthquakes, which is tremendous amount. These are so many earthquakes per day. So we know that the earth is changing. We know that the end of days are indeed upon us. And we also know that we have an opportunity to make an internal change that is revolutionary in nature and escape this catastrophe. Because out of the catastrophe, there will be survivors. There will be those who survive because they are taken into a safe haven so that they can continue working, awakening their consciousness and working in the super dynamic of love to fabricate superior existential bodies and a beautiful solar soul. But there are also who will survive the catastrophe, but will remain here within this dense realm of substance. Those are the ones that Melchizedek in his prophecy says that are the ones who will howl at the moon, who will challenge God to battle, the ones who will eat of their own flesh. You see? So we must define ourselves. And so Samael says, there will be survivors. Yes, there will be. The inhabitants of Ganymede know this very well. They will continue to lead little by little the most select people towards their world. There they will cross paths with people who live in their planet. And from such crosses, a very special type of humanity will be born, which will be brought back onto Earth. With that type of humanity, it would be possible to do wonders, because that they will develop the faculties possessed by the inhabitants of Ganymede. A beautiful opportunity would be given to some survivors who will remain on our planet on an island in the Pacific, where there and there the sixth great race will be born. All those who are able to eliminate at least half of their defects will be spared from the catastrophe. Some will be taken outside this world to other neighboring worlds, and some will be taken to this safe haven within the Pacific Ocean. And there, they will remain safely kept while the Earth undergoes its changes so that they can continue working. So if you would like to work and invoke the extraterrestrials, we would like to share this with you. Samael says, in terms of the extraterrestrials, well, the color of their skin varies according to the climates. Their skin varies depending on the environment in which they live, the conditions in which they live. But the human form, whether gigantic, medium, or small, is always the same. Samael says, our extraterrestrial friends know the critical hour we live, and they only want to help us. They want to establish personal contact with us. So if you would like to establish contact with them, use this. This symbol right here, this symbol is very similar to the symbol of the divinity of Mars. Notice that what we have here are concentric circles. These concentric circles are similar to the spheres of the Tree of Life, dimensions that exist one within the other without confusing. And we see that at the very center, there is a point from which everything emerges. We see that there are rays that expand towards the outside as creation emerges from the center, and eventually other lines that point in the direction of going back, because eventually everything will come back to its point of origin. This is a symbol of divinity, and again, it is very similar to the symbol of the divinity of Mars. We will invite you to print this image. If you were more daring, we would invite you to get a white blanket and to stencil this on that white blanket so that you can have a marvelous sign. And set it in your home. Set it in your backyard. Go to the forest and meditate. Light a fire under it so that it becomes illuminated at night. And as you are in those meditations, as you invoke of your Father who is in secret, and you ask of your Father to not only relax your body and your mind and your emotion, but to also be the one who officiates singing the mantra to invoke the extraterrestrials. And that mantra is Soling Salara. Soling Salara. And as you meditate, sing this mantra countless times. As you relax your body, see that there is a divine blue light that descends from the realm of the innermost and penetrates through your head and illuminates your heart, that fills up your lungs, that it allows for a light to radiate from you, a blue light that is a symbol of love. And after you have chanted this mantra for a good while, simply remain there, perceiving. If you fall asleep, as we always tell you, keep close by your dream journal so that you can write down everything that you see in your dreams, because those astral experiences are important. But as you are relaxed, contemplate the heavens, and you will not be disappointed. As you see the lights, as you see them travel through space, as you see the acknowledgement that they heard, this is what we invite you to do. So, dear friends, this has been our lecture tonight, The Mission of the Extraterrestrials. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us this evening. And may all beings be happy.